We do serve an amazing God, do we not? Let's pray. Father, truly you are indescribable. Truly you are uncontainable. You are beyond our words for greatness and glory. We praise you for who you are this morning. We love you, Lord. And we invite your Spirit today. We invite your presence, O God, not only in this congregation, but in churches everywhere, here in America and around the globe. May you be glorified. Thank you, Father, that we get to worship you this morning. We get to celebrate baptism today. Thank you for all the wonders of your creation. Thank you for the wonder that you even love us. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your Spirit. Thank you for your Son. Thank you for your church. Thank you for your word. Thank you for each and every one that has come this morning. Father, I just pray that if there are things in our hearts this morning that are weighing us down and burdening us, I pray that we would just surrender them to you and just lay them at your feet and allow you to help us through whatever it is we're going through. I pray that your Spirit, Father, would speak to our ears and our hearts today in a new way and reveal to us yourself in a new way, and we would surrender ourselves to you in a new capacity. God, I do pray for those that are sick and hurting and some cases dying, some cases have lost their loved ones. I do pray that you would comfort and encourage, strengthen and heal. I do pray, Father, for those that are on the broad road in life. I pray that their eyes would be opened, their hearts would receive Jesus Christ. Be filled with your Spirit and set on a new path. Jesus called it the narrow road. I do pray that for our community. I do pray that for our churches. I pray that for our nation and around the globe, that people would know Jesus Christ and be set on a new pathway in life. Continue to guide us this morning, Father, as we have gathered to worship you. Continue to speak to us by your Spirit. May your will be done. May your kingdom come, and may you be glorified. I pray in the name of Jesus our Lord. Amen. I ask our praise team to sing that new song that we sang a week ago, Thrive, a second time today, because of the words that were in there. And I don't know if that's a new song to you or not. It's a beautiful song, is it not? Did you see the words? There are some words there that spoke to me last week, and I said to our praise team that those words will go very, very well with today's message. You know, when we sang these words, we know we were made for so much more than ordinary lives. Do you know what it is talking about, brothers and sisters? We were made for more. Jim Cimbala wrote a book with that title too, by the way. You Were Made for More. But we were made for more than just flesh trudging through life. Do you know what that means? We were made for more than just ordinary lives. We're singing about the fullness of the Spirit of God. And I'm going to talk about the Spirit of God today, because in case you haven't been made aware or haven't known about it or somehow missed it, we were made for more. We really were. The other thing I like in that song that calls for the Lord, fill our hearts, flood our souls with the Spirit's desire. And that is my prayer, brothers and sisters, for me as an individual, for us as a church, for America, that God would flood our souls with the Holy Spirit of God. Now, we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit a little bit today. Why? Because today is our annual river baptism. Every year we go down to the river, crossed over here, and we baptize people. And over the past several years, I have tried to explain from the New Testament model some of what baptism is and some of what baptism is not. And simply put, let me say this, and I'm not going to elaborate this on this because I have for years. When we look at the New Testament model of baptism, I want us to see that when they were baptized in the New Testament, they were baptized with water. I'm talking after John the Baptist now. They were baptized with water because of their decision to follow Jesus. Okay, we've gone over that. We've gone over that for some time. And I tried to explain and express to us over the past course of years when it comes to Baptism Sunday, I want us to be very, very careful to understand what baptism is not. Water is not what saves us, okay? So that act of maybe being poured or sprinkled or immersed in water is not the act of salvation. I want us to be clear about that because sometimes we get to thinking, well, Jim, I got to get baptized because I might die tomorrow and I haven't been baptized yet. It's not water that saves us. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? Ephesians 2, 8, and 9 is really clear. For by grace are you saved through faith. It is not of ourselves. It is a gift of God, not of works, lest anyone should boast. You see, if I could work my way to heaven, or I could get baptized enough to get to heaven, that would be by works. We aren't saved by water. We aren't saved by works. And so I have tried to explain to us over the years a little bit about the New Testament model. We are baptized because we have made a decision inside about Jesus. And we are expressing to you on the outside, I want to be baptized today in water because of that inward decision. I was going to do that again today. Elaborate a little bit from the models in the New Testament. That is until I was reading in my devotions about 2 weeks ago from Luke chapter 3. And so if you've got your Bible, turn to Luke chapter 3. I'm going to show us a little bit there what I rediscovered a couple of weeks ago as I was reading Luke's gospel. You see, in Luke chapter 3, John the Baptizer, you all heard of John the Baptist, he springs into action. You can read a lot more about John's birth, Luke chapter 1. In Luke chapter 2, we know about the divine appointment of God for John's birth and Jesus' birth. That's all spelled out in Luke chapter 1. And we all probably know that John the Baptizer was not named by name in Malachi, but in the book of Malachi, 400 years prior to the New Testament, John was mentioned as the messenger. And so John is really on the scene here by divine decree. And so John springs into action here out of the Judean wilderness as assigned by God, having been filled with the Spirit of God himself, to basically say two things. One, prepare the way of the Lord. That was John's role. Prepare the way of the Lord. In other words, get ready because the Messiah is coming. And the other thing that John the Baptizer did was he called the people to repent. To repent of your sin. And when you repent of your sin, he said, I'm going to baptize you in the Jordan. And so that's what John was doing here in this scene. John's mission was clear. Tell the children of Israel, get ready, because the Messiah is at hand. And John's baptism was this baptism of repentance. So, I'm not going to elaborate a great deal on repentance this morning, but let me say this. Repentance, brothers and sisters, is absolutely key to your and my relationship with God. Repentance of sin. And I've elaborated on repentance before. That means a turning away from sin. We confess, God already knows we're guilty. Confession is simply saying, I've done it, Lord, please forgive me. Repentance of sin means I'm turning away from who I used to be. And so John is talking about and baptizing about a baptism of repentance, meaning to them, and he gives some examples of this. I won't read them all. I don't have time. Verse 10, 11, 12, 13, he gives examples. When you repent and turn from who you used to be, it's a new day and you're a new person. He even tells the soldiers how to act. Repent from your old behaviors and act differently. He talks to the tax collectors of what they used to be, skimming off the top. Repent from that and be honest. That's a baptism of repentance. And when John uses these words, bear fruits worthy of repentance, that's what he's talking about. Change your direction. I'm not going to elaborate a great deal on repentance either, because we've already talked about that in the past. The reason I bring up this scripture today is for verse 16. Now, I could read through the verse 7 through 15. It talks about what I've just been saying about. John springs onto the scene. He says to the multitudes, you need to be baptized, but he also says to them, brood of vipers, who warned you to flee from the wrath of God, therefore bear fruits worthy of repentance. In other words, when you confess your sin and repent of it, change your direction. And you can see the examples there. Now, when John was proclaiming this message, they wondered, could this be the Messiah? You still with me? They wondered, this guy is preaching a message that we've not really heard before. Could this be the Messiah? And so in verse 15, we pick it up there, and it says, now as the people were in expectation and all reasoned in their hearts about John, whether he was the Christ or not, John answered, saying to all, I am, in fact, baptizing you with water. Okay? I am doing that. I indeed baptize you with water, but one mightier than I is coming. As a matter of fact, John elaborates on that. He said, he is so much greater than I. He is so much mightier than I am not worthy to loose the very strap on his sandals. Okay, so they got this dialogue going on. They got this thought process going on because John is telling them to repent of their sins. And so they're wondering, is this the Christ? John is busy baptizing them with water. And he said, I am not the Christ. There is somebody coming who is so much greater than I. I'm really not even worthy to loose his sandals. And then he says what caught my attention 2 weeks ago when I was reading my devotion. When he comes, he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. John is baptizing with water, a repentance of sin. But he said, there's somebody coming. We call him Jesus. There's somebody coming that will baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. Now, I don't know if they get that. I'm not sure we get it in the 21st century. But here's one thing I do know, friends. If we are going through life on our own, in the flesh, having not been baptized by the Spirit, because we haven't professed faith in Christ, the Son of God, and allowed the Holy Spirit of God to come into us, we're missing out. That I am sure of. We are missing out. We can say we're Christian all day long and trudge through life to the very end, but if we haven't been filled with the Spirit, we are missing out. Out on the blessings and the power of God. John the Baptist said, Jesus is coming. And when He comes and you put your faith completely in Him, it's going to be a brand new day. Why? Because when we do that, His Holy Spirit is available. We talk a lot about God the Father. We talk a lot about God the Son. We don't talk enough about God the Spirit. But God the Spirit is just as important as the Trinity, the other parts of it. Jesus calls Him the Comforter, the Counselor. And if we are not filled with the Spirit of God, we are still operating in the flesh. And the flesh, well, that leads to destruction. And so John says here, there's somebody coming. There's somebody coming. He is so much greater than I am. He is so much mightier than I am. I'm really not even worthy to bend over and unstrap His sandals. He will baptize you in a powerful way. Is it important? Is it good? Is it fun to be baptized with water? Of course. It is a wonderful thing. We do it as a sign of an inward decision. But if we haven't been baptized by the Spirit because we've surrendered our lives to Christ, we are missing out completely. Are you still with me, brothers and sisters? This little phrase is what I want to focus on just for a few more minutes. Jesus will baptize you and I and anybody else that comes to Him by faith with the Holy Spirit and fire. Do you know what that means? Well, you say, Jim, at Pentecost, the Holy Spirit was poured out and the 120 that were gathered in the upper room, and all of a sudden they had these cloven tongues of fire above them. Is that what it means? Partly. Baptizing us with fire is a new power. It's a new look. It's a new day. It's radically different than walking in the flesh. His Spirit was poured out at Pentecost, and they were radically changed. And some people would suggest, well, the Holy Spirit was only poured out at that time and only available at that time. I don't subscribe to that. The Holy Spirit is available to us today, and depending upon our level of surrender to Him is how the Holy Spirit will respond in us. We can keep doing things our own way if we choose to. But that begs the question, am I really born again if I'm still doing things my own way? We can do that. God gives us the freedoms to choose. I am simply telling us, friends, today that the Holy Spirit of God is available to people today as well as it was at Pentecost. And if we are not allowing the Holy Spirit of God to lead us and change us and to alter the course of our direction completely, we're missing out. John baptized with water. And I will baptize some people today with water, younger and older. I will baptize children, I will baptize some adults with water. John did that. But Jesus, John said, Jesus will baptize you with fire, with power from on high. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit that radically alters your direction in life. Jesus is what we need. Now some might say, well, yeah, but Jim, he was talking about the people of that day. He was talking about the disciples. He was talking about the apostles. No, he wasn't. The apostles weren't even named yet. Jesus hadn't gathered them up yet and named the 12. John is speaking to every would-be follower of the Son of God. The Holy Spirit of God is available to everyone. This is not a denominational thing. At our annual conference meetings here in June, our conference superintendent gave us all pastors, and I think I referred to it already, a book called Revival Fire by Wesley Duell. I really wish the entire church could read that book and see the power of God on display throughout the centuries since the Bible was written. Now, Wesley Duell primarily focuses on the last 200 years. He focuses on the Great Awakenings in America. Have you heard about the Great Awakenings, brothers and sisters? Some of you? You know what the Great Awakenings are? No, some of you don't. Well, let me bring you up to speed. The Great Awakenings are when God poured out His Spirit afresh and anew all over America. Happened three different times in the 1800s, happened early on in the 1900s, happened again in the mid-1900s around the globe, where God's Spirit was poured out in such a powerful way, entire communities were changed. Changed for the good, I might add. Changed by the Holy Spirit of God. That was what we call the Great Awakening. That is what we call revival. And God wants to revive His church today. He wants us to live in the fullness of the Spirit. He wants us to thrive like we just sang about. And so anyway, I'm reading this book. Actually, I'm reading it for the second time. I read it several years ago because I own the book. I love revival stories. I have a desire that God will do a new revival work in me, in our church, and in America, and around the globe, like He has done before. And so I'm reading about this book. I'm reading the book again for the second time. And I'm reminded again how God has made miraculous changes, miraculous differences in people, not only in America, but Africa, and China, and North Korea, and in Ireland, and in Britain, and South Africa, and in colleges around America. Wheaton and Asbury and Seattle Pacific have experienced revivals in this last century. And I'm reading with interest, and I'm wondering, and I'm asking, God, when will You do it again? When will You do it again? When will You pour out Your Spirit on humanity again to bring Yourself glory, to see people come to Christ, to see healings, to see miracles? When you start to read about revivals around the globe, brothers and sisters, you see where entire communities are so radically altered. This might break some of your hearts, but the bars are closed. Because people have been changed dramatically. They want to draw closer to God. They don't want anything of the world. And when I read about these revivals and I long for personal revival for me and for us, I wonder why, if we desire to be part of God's heaven someday, do we not desire more of God today? Why is that? I just want to kind of drift through life, kind of skirting with the gray areas some of the time, and hopefully arrive in the kingdom of God at the end. Why would we do that? Why would we not long for and desire for God's Holy Spirit to alter us radically today? That's what revival is. And so I'm reading this book, and I'm pondering it, and I'm being encouraged by it more and more. And I'm asking and I'm praying, God, do it again. And as I was reading that book, I read this phrase, He will baptize you with Holy Spirit and with fire. I asked our board a couple of meetings ago, do you pray for and long for revival? And I ask you, brothers and sisters, today, do you pray for and long for God's Holy Spirit to be poured out again and full-blown revival? I pray for it almost every day because we were made for more, just like we sung about. Drifting through life and giving God a 30 minutes or 60 minutes on Sunday, that's not the abundant life. Having turned away from who I used to be and walking with Jesus, being filled with the Holy Spirit of God, that is the abundant life. That's what He's made us for. And I wonder, do we even long for more? Are we satisfied with, I'm just going to go ahead and drift through and take my chances at the end? And so I ask us, as I ask our board a meeting or two ago, do you pray for and long for personal revival, Revival in our church, revival in our community is revival in America. I do. I long for more of God. When God pours out His Spirit on you, on me, on the next church, on the next town, on the next nation, you will be radically altered. Amen? The Holy Spirit of God will radically change you. We have placed our faith in the Son of God, and the Holy Spirit of God will radically change you if you allow it. He will not force you. He will not even force a church what to say and preach and teach. We have to choose the Son of God. We have to choose to be born again. When Jesus had this conversation with John, and Nicodemus in John chapter 3, and he said to him, "You must be born again," he's talking about this. He's talking about a spiritual rebirth. We've all been born in the flesh already. But if we ever want to see the kingdom of God, we've got to have a spiritual rebirth. And if we don't have a spiritual rebirth, we will never enter the kingdom of God. That's the words of Jesus. His Spirit. God the Father, God the Son, God the Spirit is available to help us in every avenue of life. You say, "Jim, I'm struggling. I can't get away from this sin. I'm not even sure I want to be born again. I'm not even sure yet. I might want to wait a little while longer." The Holy Spirit of God will help us with every aspect of struggles that we have. He will help you. Jesus has died, so God the Father will forgive you. The Holy Spirit of God will be available to you. And I sometimes wonder, do we even want to be baptized by the Spirit? Do we even want to be passionate for Christ? Do we want to just get by? Because getting by ain't going to get it done on Judgment Day, brothers and sisters. And so I'm reading this book with interest and taking notes, and I'm wondering, are we longing for more of God? Only you and God know that. I long for more of God. I long for more of His Spirit. I long for more of Jesus, to be like Jesus. I long for that for me. I long for that for us. Do you long for more of God, brothers and sisters? Longing for the fullness of His Spirit should be our prayer. So we stop acting in the flesh and start acting like we're led by the Spirit. And so I'd like to give you some examples, but I don't have time. I'd like to tell you this about revival, that when God's Holy Spirit has been poured out time and time and time again in America and around the globe, miracles happen, healings, cleansings, restoration, confession and repentance of sin, restitution between people. Miracles happen because people have been drawing close to God. And I long for that. The revival in Africa, I could tell you stories about Korea and China and Ireland and America, but the revivals in Africa that started in 1930 started with people praying and longing for more of God. And they went on for 50 years in Rwanda, in Burundi, in places like that where the Free Methodists and others have churches. I know a man personally that was part of that. He saw tens of thousands of people come to Christ. He saw healings. He saw miracles of restitution. He saw repentance. Revival is real. The Holy Spirit of God is real. And I wonder, friends, do we long for what John said Jesus is all about? He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and fire. Why do I share this today? Well, we're going to have a water baptism, that's why. But it's so much more important that we are born again, that we surrender our lives to Jesus Christ, we allow the Holy Spirit of God to come in and fill us up, and we are baptized with fire. It is so much more important than being baptized with water. Water is important to show the rest of us, I have been born again. But to be baptized with the Holy Spirit of God is so important. And we, if we in the church who claim the name of Jesus are not experiencing that filling of the Holy Spirit, friends, we're missing out. We really are. We're missing out on the power, the cleansing power, the healing power, the power of God. If we've not been filled with the Spirit, we're missing out. If we who sit in the churches of America today are not praying and longing for more of God, why, I would ask myself, for me and us, why? Is it because I'm too full of myself? Are we too full of ourselves? Are we too comfortable with our own direction? Why are we not longing for more of God? If we in the church are not longing for more of His Spirit and more of His holy presence in our lives, may I simply suggest we should be. We should be longing for more of Jesus, longing for more of God's Spirit, who is available to every one of us when we're born again. We should be desiring what John the Baptist said is available and possible, that baptism of the Holy Spirit and fire. We should be. And until we are, we're missing out. Friends, let me say this before we close in prayer. A couple of things. One, lunch is prepared in the fellowship hall behind us. Please feel free to join us. Even if you haven't made plans to, I'm sure there'll be food enough. Please stay and join us. All of those that want to observe or participate, we're going down to the river after fellowship dinner, and we're going to baptize some folks. Praise and glory to God. If you're here today and you've never been born again, we're going to bow our heads in a few moments. I'm going to invite you to pray to receive the Son of God by faith. And if that's your prayer today and you want to be baptized today, we'll baptize you too, because that's what they did in the Old Testament, in the New Testament. When they made that decision about Jesus, they were baptized, in some cases almost immediately. We'll do that today. If you decide to surrender and follow Jesus today, we'll baptize you today and celebrate with you. And so, I want to encourage you to ponder, have I been born again? Am I filled with the Spirit? And if not, cry out to God in humility and surrender as we have just sung, fill me. Fill me with your Spirit. Let's pray. Gracious and eternal God, thank you that we do not have to go about life on our own. Thank you, you sent your Son to be our Savior. He is our Redeemer. And if we will surrender completely to Him, put our faith and trust completely in Him, the Holy Spirit of God, this beautiful unseen power will come in and begin to radically transform us. The old ways begin to fall away because the Holy Spirit of God is good and refreshing and renewing and will radically alter who we used to be. Father, thank you. This is available to all of us. And I pray, Almighty God, today in our communities, in our churches, whether people made it to church or whether they didn't, if people have not been born again, they would cry out to you, Father, forgive me. I need Jesus. I believe in the Son of God. I believe I need Him as Savior. Come into my life. Take control. Fill me up, Holy Spirit. Set me on a new path. Father, I pray that if people pray that today, they would tell somebody, they would give you praise, and even perhaps be baptized today. I pray, O God, revive your church, revive our communities, pour out your Spirit upon us that we may be new in Christ. Do it, O God. Come, Holy Spirit, for Jesus' sake. Come, revive your church. Bless the food that has been prepared. Bless it to our bodies. Bless it to our nourishment. And encourage us with it, Father. Bless the baptism service. Be with us tonight as we gather together for a wonderful, inspirational, and energetic concert. May you be glorified in everything we do. And Father, today is the last Sunday for some of our people. They will move to a different state, to a different church, a different community. Will you bless them? Will you keep them? Will you make your face to shine upon them? Will you grant them your peace? Will you fill them with your Spirit? And as they go, they know they are going in Jesus' name. We pray it all in the name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior. Amen.